Free agency is right around the corner for the Indianapolis Colts, and we're here to predict what they might do next week. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. I'm Zach Hicks. I'm joined today by my colleague, my good friend, Destin Adams, who I met for the first time last week, by the way, which was great. Destin Adams filling in for Jake Arthur today. And, you know, because I have Destin and we're both very long-winded people, me and Destin, we're gonna have only a two-segment show today, but it'll probably come
That's
up.
That's a gift being, to you guys. That's a gift to you guys.
It's a gift to you guys, but it'll probably end up being the same length of a normal episode because we're going to be talking some free agency. We're going to have some fun with this one. Our first segment here, we're going to talk about realistic free agent targets that Chris Ballard could go after, just knowing what we know about Chris Ballard. I already know some of you guys are going crazy typing right now in the comment section being like, we know he's just going to sign nobody. He's going to sign 1 year, $1 million deals. You're not wrong. You're not wrong, but we are going to kind of address that here in the first segment. And then the second segment, Des and I are both going to go back and forth and talk about some guys that we personally would target to really complete this Indianapolis Colts team. But Destin, let's start with what we think Chris Ballard will do, because as we know, he's not a first wave free agency guy. He's
first, not really a second.
Kind of third and a half. His biggest free agent moves typically come in like April. You know, Eric Fisher a couple of years back, Stephon Gilmore last year. Like, he likes those April signings. You know, we don't really get much on the first couple of days of free agency, but he does still use it sparingly. Destin, who do you got? Who's your first guy that you think Chris Ballard might go after in free agency this offseason?
So, trying to predict what Ballard will do, I mean, it'll take you down some rabbit holes. Because you look at all the free agents, you look at the top tier names, you look at the guys who are having like a breakout year, you throw all those guys out. those guys, they don't exist anymore when we're trying to predict what we're trying to predict here. And just trying to go down the list of guys that I think he could go after. This guy, I think, kind of had a little bit of a breakout year, and it's a position that I think you at least need to add a guy to compete at. So it's a guard. I'm going to go Ben Powers. Okay. From Baltimore. Ben Powers didn't have a full season starting. He did come in spot play, but I think he excelled in offense in Baltimore that is run heavy, and I know people are going to hate that part of it, but Powers, I think, showed that in the run game. I think he showed his ability to win in that way, and I think he's a guy you could add that would be solid veteran competition for Will Fries and possibly a rookie if they go that route. And I just think that type of lineman who's never been a full-time starter, coming off a year where he had some start play this year, like I think Ben Powers sounds like an offensive line veteran move that Ballard would go.
I like it. I'm actually really curious what Ben Powers' market's going to look like this offseason. Like, does he get like the Mark Lewinsky deal of years ago where he got $6 million a year? Or is it something lower, like 4 to 5, like, or maybe even 3? You know, who knows? I think that's a really interesting one right there. I did throw on one somewhat biggish name here on here, and it's at the one position Ballard does like to spend on in free agency. As we've seen, he will spend for corners. He will definitely spend for cornerbacks. We had Xavier Rhodes twice that he signed to moderate deals. Brandon Faison last year to a moderate deal, which, you know, I know you guys don't want to be reminded of that one. And then Stephon Gilmore, obviously, last year. You know, Chris Ballard will spend for cornerback. So I have a corner that he has been interested in the past, and that's Shaquille Griffin from the Jacksonville Jaguars, recently released by the team. Definitely did not play his best football the last two seasons there in Jacksonville. 11 pass breakups and 19 games played. no interceptions over those 2 years. It was a weird fit for him. You know, he's more of that cover three type of corner. So I think this is a good target for the Colts. And I think Chris Ballard's going to see this as well, where you get him back into what he's used to playing with Gus Bradley's type of scheme. This is also a guy where, you know, Ballard likes to take chances on these kind of like corners like this, you know, like the second chance corners. Xavier Rhodes, obviously, is the biggest example, but Stephon Gilmore was also that last year, that kind of second chance corner to kind of get back to their peak play. So if Chris Ballard's going to spend big anywhere, I think it'll be corner like it always is. And Shaquille Griffin, I know for a fact, is a guy they've been interested in the past. So it wouldn't shock me whatsoever if he's a target in free agency.
Yeah. So my second guy's a corner as well. I went a little bit of a lower name, but I like this guy. I went Cameron Sutton from Pittsburgh. So I like Cameron Sutton's game. I think in Pittsburgh, he kind of got Pittsburgh, for those listening that didn't know, not a lot of corner depth, not a lot of solid corner starters. pretty much just a corner wasteland in Pittsburgh. And I think Cameron Sutton, who would be better playing in that slot nickel role, and he had flourished in it even at times, was really forced to be on the outside because they really just didn't have anyone else to start out there. Yep. So Sutton was kind of forced to be out there. I think we could see the starting nickel on this Colts team elsewhere after this season in Kenny Moore. I could see him moving elsewhere via trade in some light. So I think a guy like Cameron Sutton can come in. I think he would be better in the nickel slash slot. I think that's kind of what the role he's going to look to go play elsewhere. And I think Cameron Sutton's market will be around what Ballard usually spends. And like I said, I mean, this is like a little bit of a tweener between the topics we're going to talk about. But I like Cameron Sutton's game. I do. I like it. And I think if you can throw him in the nickel where he's going to be more comfortable, I think he would excel. And I think he may be an upgrade from what we saw last year.
Yep. Extremely physical corner. I love the way that he plays at the nickel position. And honestly, if you were to put just a ranking of the top nickels in the game, I would honestly have him in the top five, maybe the top three. Like he's a really, really good player. I really like Cameron Sutton. My next guy here is a position where Chris Ballard has, again, he's kind of spent at this position, but not like a ton. This is defensive end I'm talking about, where he's spent for Al-Qaeda Muhammad in free agency. Tyquan Lewis, he's brought back a couple times. He's spent on, back in the day, Danico Autry. If you count him as a defensive end, Justin Houston. So Chris Ballard has spent at defensive end, but we do typically see him spend kind of lower, you know, mid to lower type free agents. So I'm going with Efe Obada is his name. Efe Obada.
How many times did you say that in the mirror before we got on today?
I tried, man. I'm just terrible at this. But if you guys are familiar with who I'm talking about, he was the Washington Commanders defensive end this past season. He's also spent time in Buffalo and Carolina before that. Every time he goes somewhere, he just turns out a very solid season. You know, this past year in Washington, as that depth player, 4 sacks, 8 QB hits, 4 tackles for a loss. This is just the kind of player the Colts need. You know, he's not going to push Dayo Odangbo and Kwity Paye to be a starter, but he's going to be a guy who can play behind them and give you good production. And again, the Colts have had guys like that in the past. Al-Qaeda Muhammad was like that. Tyquan Lewis, obviously, early in his career was kind of like that. And then last year, was it Odenigbo, I think? Yeah, Odenigbo was a lot like that as well. You know, just a 4 to 5 sack guy coming off the bench who gets a couple QB hits and some good pressures. I think the Colts need that, and I think this is the type of guy that Chris Ballard would go after.
So this one I'm going to get a little bit of a heat from. I think I'll get some from Zach too. This is a little bit smaller than Ballard would probably usually go at receiver, but I think he's a guy who had a few week stretch last year where he really showed the ability of run after catch. I think he really showed his ability to play in the slot, and he played for a team where they just don't throw to receivers because there really aren't much receivers in New York. So I'm going to go with Richie James from the Giants. Richie James is 5'9", 5'10". So like I said, he's a little smaller than what Ballard's going to normally go for. But there is no depth at slot on this team. None. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, if we're not putting Paris Campbell in the equation, because he's a free agent as well, we don't really have a slot on the roster. I mean, or unless we're talking about Kiki QT. DeMichael Harris, when he's on the practice squad here and there, yeah. Like we don't have a slot like that we can really use. And Richie James had about a if for any of those fantasy football players that are listening, Richie James had like a 4 or 5 week stretch where he was in your lineup and he was your favorite waiver pickup, and then just fell off the cliff again. And I mean, but that was the Giants receiving core. I mean, it was just they would all have little stretches and then they would do nothing. And I think Richie James just has a little bit of that of explosion out of the slot area that I could see Ballard looking at as a cheap option coming out of that New York offense. And I think he would be able to do more here. I think some people listening are like, why didn't you go for Darius Slayton? I personally doubt everything I'm reading sound like Darius Slayton's going to be back in New York. So I really tried to go a guy that I think is going to definitely hit the market and should be really cheap.
Yeah. I was about to say my thoughts on Richie James, but I have a feeling I'll get to those here in a few minutes. But let's go. My next guy here, I think, is the most Chris Ballard signing of this entire free agency class. Like, I have circled this guy's name multiple times because I'm like, this is 100% what Chris Ballard will do. And just for some background here, Chris Ballard has signed, I think, 9 offensive line free agents or outside free agents in his tenure with the Colts. And if you don't count Eric Fisher, because he was past March, you know, I'm talking like the first couple of waves of free agency. If you don't count Eric Fisher, the total contracts come out to like $11 million or like $10 million for 9 guys. Like, he averages barely over $1 million per guy on contract. He loves to just throw minimum contracts at offensive line guys and hoping that they work out. Sometimes you get a Chris Reed, sometimes you get a Julian Davenport and a Sam Tevy, you know, those type of guys. And I found my next Julian Davenport and Sam Tevy. It's Trey Pipkins from the Chargers. 100% 1 year, $1.127 million contract to Trey Pipkins to be a depth tackle in offseason and potentially win a spot because that's just what happens. Yeah, Trey Pipkins, he overlapped with Shane Steichen with the Chargers, overlapped with Gus Bradley with the Chargers as well. And again, this is just what Ballard does at offensive line. Like, it just feels so Chris Ballard with offensive line, even though I don't even have positive stats to say Trey Pipkins is a bad player. Like, he's not good at all. He can't survive a bull rush or anything like that. Like, it's really bad. But that just seems like the type of contract Chris Ballard would give out. The 1 year, $1.127 million deal to Trey Pipkins, a guy with experience and a guy who will come here cheap. You know, I just think that's the deal I feel most comfortable predicting. And that's off of no inside sources or anything right there.
Elite name. Maybe not an elite football player, but I mean, Pipkins on the back of a jersey, that sounds like fun.
That's true. That's true.
So the last one I went, I scoured the edge rushers because I wanted to pick one because I just feel like we just always get one of those defensive linemen that was not a starter on the team he was coming from, has a little bit of production that you can kind of throw around on the defensive line. It just seems like something Ballard does a lot. This guy is coming from the Raiders, played a few seasons with Gus Bradley, didn't necessarily play well with Gus Bradley. He was a very high draft pick. So it's Kellen Farrell. I think he's a guy who has a solid production in the quarterback hits department, where it's like he stays pretty consistent in that like 8 to 11 range ever since his second year in the league. So he has that production element. For whatever reason, he just cannot get put together sack seasons. He just can't. But he seems like a guy that he's still 25 years old, going to be hitting the market. I'm assuming he's going to be leaving Vegas. Gus Bradley has a little bit of familiarity with him. Yannick's going to be hitting the market. You kind of get a switch former Gus Bradley edge rushers. And I feel like Farrell's a guy who more than willing will come in and play as a rotational piece. And sometimes you don't have that. You have guys that are going to want to go elsewhere and start. And I think Ballard likes the idea of Quidipe and Dio on the outside. I really do. I think he's ready to see those two on the outside. So I don't think he's going to be willing to sign a bigger name and risk those two not starting. But signing a little name like Kellen Farrell, maybe drafting a couple, is something I definitely see him doing.
Yeah, I definitely like that one. That does feel very Chris Ballard right there for sure. So guys, we just talked about what we think Chris Ballard might do, but let's have some fun with this next segment. We're going to talk about guys that we would want to sign, our dream targets this offseason. But first, the midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on anything from the money line to point scores to threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Destin, so now we're getting into our pipe dream targets. Now, look, to preface this, I don't know how Destin did it because we didn't really share our list with each other, but I hope Destin didn't just go for like $30 million a year guys. Like, you know, like...
Are there $30 million a year guys on the market this year?
Lamar Jackson.
Well, okay.
Derek Carr was out there.
Are we calling Lamar Jackson a free agent?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is I hope that we didn't go for like these gigantic guys. I went with a couple smaller, like normal name guys and stuff, but we'll see. But Destin, who do you got for your dream free agent signing this offseason?
I mean, I think some people may call this a bigger name. I mean, I went Dante Fowler Jr. As an edge rusher to add. I do not think Chris Ballard will go this route because of a reason I just said with Kellen Farrell. I do not think Chris Ballard, from what I have heard, they really like the idea of Quiddipay and Dio getting a year to start together. Okay. I think Dante Fowler is a guy you would bring in and he would start. But I just love the production that Dante Fowler has every single place he goes. He's switched defenses so many different times now. He's been in Atlanta. He's been with the Rams. He was just with Dallas this past year. And he's just steadily productive. But it's not the situation where we brought Yannick in this past year, and that was his story. Like, I feel like Dante Fowler is active in both elements of the game. I think he affects the pass game. I think he affects the run game. Whereas Yannick, who just came in, he lacked in the run game.
Yes.
To say the least. So I think Dante Fowler is a guy that if they were willing to go this route, could come in, be a productive starter that helps both ways. And I think he'd be a solid vet to be there as a veteran for a guy like Dio, for a guy like Quiddy, who's been around, done a lot of things. But I also think he's the type of vet who is not too high of a name to where you can rotate guys in, to where you still could have Quiddipay and Dio on the field together multiple times, but you'd have a little bit of a better edge rusher presence.
Yeah, I wonder if they could talk him into a thing where it's like, look, you're not going to get 90% of the snaps, but when Dio switches inside on third downs, then you'll be our main pass rushing edge on the outside. So I think there's ways that could work. So I don't hate it whatsoever. I think he's a good player, and I think he would fit pretty well here. Next up, I'm going to talk about a guy who, you know, this name, I don't know if you guys have heard this name yet. It's Richie James, the wide receiver from the Giants. I mean, we're in the same wavelength here, Destin. And honestly, for a lot of things that you said during when you talked about him in the first segment was, the Colts have no slot depth whatsoever right now. Even if they bring back Paris Campbell, I still want another guy there, like another fourth guy who can play a little inside out, or, you know, a guy like Richie James, where if you say he's only a slot guy, then Paris Campbell can play inside and out and kind of go back and forth. But yeah, Richie James, just to add some more stats to what you were saying, 57 catches, 569 yards and 4 touchdowns this past season. That's very, very good wide receiver 3 numbers right there. So if the Colts were to sign him, he could be that slot guy, or again, he could just be a bench guy behind the top 3 guys. I really like Richie James. He's a separator. He gets open. He's quick and he's athletic. He's a guy who I think the Colts desperately need in this wide receiver room right now because, you know, again, I know this kind of goes with what Chris Ballard likes, but they're just a very big and physical wide receiver room. They don't have that true separator. Paris Campbell is that, but it's mostly on really, really short routes. You know, get some more separators, even if they're all only on short routes. You know, just get more and more separators, guys who can get open on third down when you need it. Richie James, I think, is a very solid player, and I'd be all for the Colts going after him this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing much for me to comment on Richie James. Already talked about him, but I mean, he was a little bit of a tweener, like I said that first time. I mean, he's a guy who I liked watching this past year, but for whatever reason, when you watch the Giants, like, they just go away from receivers like a whole lot. I mean, I don't know if that's a Daniel Jones thing. I don't know if that's a Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka thing. But like, there's just times where Daniel Jones didn't even look at receivers when you go through the New York tape. And I just think he's a guy who had flashes. And if Ballard can close his eyes, don't look at the height element of it. Like, he could be a lot of fun to bring in. So I went receiver for somebody that I would like. I tried to not go someone that's going to get a high number amount. If this was this past offseason, a year prior, he was a guy that a lot of people thought was going to be a top name. Went to Detroit for a year, didn't really have all that much success. I like DJ Chark, though. I like his game. I think he's a guy that would be a little bit more realistic to add in the depth role. He's not a guy who, after having a year in Detroit, needs to start. But he can be a rotational receiver, and I think he would be probably the best receiver four that the Colts have had in years once they draft a guy to actually play in the slot. So that would be the element of it. If you sign a guy like DJ Chark, you're going to have to draft your slot, or you're bringing Paris back, and that happens as well. But you have to find another element for the slot. But I think DJ Chark would be someone who is actually productive instead of having to throw out receivers who, when you see him on the field, you know we're running the ball.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And yeah, DJ Chark, you know, a big, tall, explosive type of guy too, that kind of fits that Chris Ballard mold. So yeah, I like it. I really wanted DJ Chark here last offseason, so I'd be all for it this year. My next guy is a pass rusher that, just like Destin said with Chark, this pass rusher is a guy who I really wanted in Indy last year. He's long, he's explosive, he can play defensive tackle and defensive end, and I've wanted him in Indy for years. I'm talking about Rashim Green from the Houston Texans, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks. He played in a lot of similar systems that Gus Bradley runs. This guy's just a versatile freak, man. He's super athletic, he's so explosive. And, you know, he's not the most consistent and perfect pass rusher, but when you're talking about a rotational guy or a guy that you want behind Dio, or even, you know, rotating in with Dio, this is just another weapon that you could have in your pass rush arsenal. Last year with the Houston Texans, he had 3.5 sacks, 5 tackles for a loss, and 8 QB hits coming off the bench. He's just a rock solid player that just offers a lot in the pass rush department. Like, this is the perfect rotational rusher that you want. You know, like a lot of teams say, you want to go like 7 or 8 deep on your defensive line. You just want to have platoons of pass rushers coming in and out of the game. Rashim Green is a perfect platoon pass rusher, and this is what the Colts need. So I'm all for Rashim Green signing. He doesn't cost that much either. Like, it's a very, very simple signing to upgrade your depth and add more pass rush juice. It's one I think would be a no-brainer for any team.
So Green was the other name that I was going back and forth with between Farrell when I was doing my Ballard-type edge rusher. So, again, I think that's just a guy that's a position that Ballard targets. That's a position that they try to add those rotational pieces. And that would definitely be a name that they still could go the route of starting Quiddy and Dio and just rotating Green in, who on a team in Houston who did have a really solid season defensively, they did not have a lot of edge rusher presence. So like he did show a lot off the line at times in his given role. I'm curious if he would take a role that'd be a little bit less after what he had in Houston. But obviously new coaching staff in Houston, so no one has a guaranteed spot there. Last one for me. This one is probably the biggest name that we've mentioned. I think he's going to end up leaving where he's at just because of Philadelphia's contract situations. And some people may know him as the guy who had the last hold to potentially lose the Super Bowl. I like James Bradberry a lot. I really wanted him last year after the release. I think he's a guy that you would be able to sign, put on the outside with Stephon Gilmore for these last couple of years. And then you're able to then let Isaiah Rodgers kind of move inside if you wanted to be able to let him play on the inside, where probably his size fits him better, even though he's been a significantly better outside corner than I think anyone would have realized when Ballard drafted him. Mm-hmm. Being an undersized guy, probably someone who was drafted mainly to be a returner even. Yep. I think James Bradberry had a really solid season in Philadelphia. The reason I'm going to title this is something that I will want, but it's not going to happen. James Bradberry spent a lot of his career on teams that weren't winning. Then he goes to Philadelphia, gets to go to the Super Bowl and loses. He is not then going to turn around and sign with the Indianapolis Colts after what just happened. I think he will probably find a spot with a winning roster. But Bradberry's a guy that I've liked for a long time, so I had to say his name.
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to get paid quite a bit on the first couple days of free agency. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he's going to end up in Indy, but a really, really good player. Really, really good player. I'm going to talk about a guy here for my last one that almost certainly is not going to end up in Indy, but I need it. I need it to happen. I need it to happen. We're talking about the one and the only, Rockyasin.
I knew Rockyasin. I left him off my list for this exact reason.
I mean, I just love Rockyasin so much, man. It hurts thinking about that trade because you had an ascending young player. And I understand the trade. You know, you're trying to get pass rush help and you're moving on from a guy that you're not going to pay. Like, Indy was not going to pay him. And the reason why is he just doesn't create turnovers. He's a great, great defender, does a lot of good things for your team, but he just does not create turnovers, and the Colts value that too much. So he's not going to come back to Indy, but he's such a good corner. He's an ascending young corner. He's going to get paid upwards of $10 million a year in free agency, and he deserves it for sure. Really, really solid player. Like, I really, really love his game, and it still hurts me that he got traded for – you know, again, Yannick Ngakoue was fine-ish last year. He was fine. But, like, man, I know it would be a great boost to the locker room if the Colts were to bring him back, because you cannot find a player on this team who did not like Rockyasin. I mean, and he's the guy that all young players like to look at because, again, this is a guy where his first year was atrocious. It was terrible. And then he had moments here and there where it was just awful and just terrible play. And then by the time that, you know, his last year in Indy, he was a great young corner. And then obviously when they sent him out to the Raiders, he only played 9 games this past year. But again, a really solid young corner. Like, there's a lot to like about Rockyasin, and I miss him. I miss him a lot. So I know you guys in the comments are not gonna agree with this, but I love Rockyasin, man.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Ballard loved Rock. I think that was the most shocking part of it. Like, I was driving when I got the notification, and I literally pulled over to the side of the road because I was just like, has Chris Ballard died? Did I miss that notification, and now I'm seeing that Rockyasin has been traded? And I don't know if anybody remembers it, but, like, the first report that came out was, like, Yannick has been traded to the Colts. And then it's like we had to wait, like, 10, 15 minutes for there to even be a list of, like, what that package was. So they went to see it was Rockyasin. I mean, Chris Ballard, when he got the chance to talk in any media availability, you would not get out of there without hearing Rockyasin's name five times. I mean, ever since then, I mean, the guy he talks the most about is DeForest Buckner. So, I mean, watch out this offseason for DeForest Buckner getting traded. But, I mean, Chris Ballard loved Rockyasin. Rockyasin is a guy who is he's a great covered corner. Like you said, he doesn't produce a lot in that turnover category, but he's a guy where you can put him on most receivers and you can just take them out of the game. And that's an element of corner that's underappreciated. It's similar to how edge rushers who have hurries and quarterback hits, and they're just so, like, they're so consistent with that notion, but they don't have the lead league in sacks. They're not going to get that same contract. They're not going to get that same love across the league. When you're a corner that takes a guy out of the game, but you don't produce turnovers, they just don't look at you the same way. Like how we had Diggs in Dallas last year, who was a turnover machine, but also allowed the most yards of any corner in the league last year. So you give and you take. It's a preference thing. I loved watching Rockyasin because of exactly what Zach said, though. I love watching corners that just take players out of games. And whoever gets Rock, it's going to be a fun one.
Absolutely. Well, that's all we have for today, guys. We'll be back. I think tomorrow I'm going to have a bonus episode for you guys talking with a special guest. So be on the lookout for that. But guys, that's all we got. Make sure you're following at Locked On Colts on Twitter, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. And also at the Destin Adams, my favorite colleague. Don't tell anyone else that. My favorite colleague right here, the Destin Adams. Also subscribe to Locked On Colts podcast on YouTube, and also check out the Horseshoe Huddle YouTube channel. Are you guys at 1,000?
Very close. Yet? We're very, very close. When I last checked, we were under 30. So maybe by the time this episode is being watched and you guys are going over and subscribing right now, we're over 1,000.
There you go. So make sure you guys go over there and subscribe and get that channel up to 1,000. Destin and Shot and Andrew and Drake. Just do some phenomenal work over there. And then thank you guys for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On NFL Draft. Damian Parson and Keith Sanchez provide in-depth coverage of the biggest NFL draft prospects with deep dives into sleepers and hidden gems that can change your favorite NFL franchise. Find Locked On NFL Draft wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow.